What's up, guys?
How we doing? We're back. First Down Football Podcast. It's been a while since we've done one. Dang it. You know, football is coming back. We got to start the podcast up again. Let's go.
Yes, sir. So a few topics we're going to be focusing on today. We're going to be talking about the Garoppolo potential trade spots. Obviously, the news just broke that he has been allowed to seek trade along with his agents from the Niners. So there's a couple spots that he's going to go. And then we'll be talking about, obviously, the franchise tag extension period just ended. So these players will be in the season on the franchise tag or holding out. And so we're going to be discussing those players, whether they're holding out or going to play, and their potential futures with the team. So let's get into it. Let's start with the Garoppolo trade spots.
All right. I'll go first with these. In all honesty, there's not very many spots he can go to. Right now, everyone feels like they have their future QB, or they have a good enough QB who Garoppolo is not better than. But one of the big spots I could see him going, one of the two, could be either Pittsburgh, potentially, or New York Giants. So with the Giants, obviously this is a make it break it year for Daniel Jones. He's had his time. This is the year where either he plays well, gets another contract, or he, you know, poops the bed and he has to go looking for a backup spot somewhere else, and they draft in this loaded QB class. Potentially, I feel like because of the Giants roster being so well, they could go without having the best QB and maybe get a couple wins or maybe go even. And by that, I think potentially by that trade deadline, we could see Garoppolo going to New York because of that. I don't see him getting traded very early in the preseason because, as I said, I feel like a lot of teams have their QB. And the Pittsburgh reason is, what if the same thing happens with Trubisky and Mike Tomlin wants to sit Kenny Pickett for a year, which I would do considering the status of their O-line being so weak, and they want another QB because that defense, even with Big Ben, made the playoffs. They just think maybe we can get another guy to just bridge us to the playoffs, see what can happen. I could see Jimmy Garoppolo also going there in the first few weeks if Trubisky isn't doing too well.
So I agree with you on the Giants take. I think that's a very likely spot for Garoppolo to end up. I strongly disagree with you on the Steelers take because of the fact that Trubisky, they brought him in on a 2-year deal and long pick it's going to be between those two guys. And even if a scenario happens, like you just mentioned, they're not happy with Trubisky and Kenny Pickett, they want to sit the first year. They still have Mason Rudolph on the roster, and so they would play him. He already has experience as a starter, and I just feel like there is no chance that crowd that QB room anymore with four quarterbacks that could potentially start. So I just think there's no room for Garoppolo, nor do they want to take on that contract. I mean, obviously next year he's an unrestricted free agent. This is the last year of his deal, but he's up to $25 million, so you know there's no reason for them to be able to. There's no reason for them to go through with that trade, especially because the Niners. You know, it's not a value of, it's not a position of need for the Steelers, and there's Garoppolo's not going to get them over the hump. So it's just wasting a draft pick that you're going to have to trade. So that's just how I look at that.
I disagree with you on that. If you look at the Steelers, they're literally a QB away from being a contender. Their receiving core is great. They got Freiermuth. They got all these receivers. They got in Pickens and Deontay Johnson and who's the other Calvin receiver Austin. They drafted? Yeah. Calvin. They have all these receivers. They have a great running back in Najee, and their defense is one of the best we've seen in the past 10 years. The Pittsburgh Steelers defense with all these guys here like TJ Watt, you got Minka, You have young guys coming in. You got Devin Bush, who's promising. You, the cornerback position is looking good. I feel that they if they have a promising start, but the QB room isn't looking good, they could think, you know, it's a one-year rental. We can get far enough and still have our rookie QB there.
There's no push for it. But I see what you're
saying with the QB room being pretty full.
Okay, and to combat that, what have you seen Jimmy Garoppolo do that Mitch Trubisky can't necessarily do? And I already know what your argument is going to be. Your argument is going to be he's taken him to the Super Bowl. He's taken him to the Conference Championship last year. He's won divisions with them. And to combat that, I'll say when we've seen Trubisky, he has been plagued by Matt Nagy. He has been injured. He has the worst situation possible. His best year was his second year when, you know, he came out and they went 12-4 with the Bears. And that defense was phenomenal. Best defense we've seen in years. Similar to the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. And now he's surrounded by good coaching, one of the best coaches in the NFL. He just was with Josh Allen, the best quarterback in the NFL last year. And he was surrounded by Brian Daboll, who just took a head coaching job in New York, who is one of the best offensive coordinators, if not the best offensive play caller in all of football. So why would the Steelers give up potentially a third, fourth round draft pick for someone who doesn't have the arm strength like Trubisky, doesn't have accuracy like Trubisky, isn't mobile like Trubisky? I don't think Trubisky's that bad of a quarterback. And if you put Trubisky on that team instead of Garoppolo, maybe they get to the Super Bowl. Maybe they win that Super Bowl against the Chiefs. Who knows? Who knows? But Garoppolo, every game they won last year was because of their defense. They beat the Packers in the snow 13-10.
Garoppolo's like the game manager, though.
They beat the Cowboys. They beat the Cowboys 17-14 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Both of those teams you're talking about have great defenses where it's hard to score on them. Garoppolo is a game manager. That's not – Mr. Trubisky is not a game manager. He throws – Garoppolo, he may not have the best arm, may not have the best legs or accuracy, but his reads are good. And that's what Mike Tomlin's going to want for a one-year rental. You don't want someone who's going to chuck it all over the place and throw picks. You want someone who's smart enough to push you to the playoff spot.
But anybody can be a game manager in the right system.
In the right system, obviously.
Patrick Mahomes can be a game manager if a coach really wants to make him a game manager.
All right, he can, but could Kirk Cousins be a game manager?
Yeah. What do you mean, can he be a game manager?
Some quarterbacks
just can't. They just – all they want to do is fling it. They can't control the tempo and shit.
Cousins is one of the biggest game managers in the league. He throws a high amount of touchdowns, a low amount of interceptions, an above average amount of yards, and the Vikings run the ball each other time. Now that's going to change because of their offensive coordinator they just brought in. But,
yeah. Sorry about going down the Steelers hole. Would you like to name your –
I mean, it's good. It's good.
Top candidates.
Yeah, it's good conversation to have.
It is. You
know? Doing a podcast with two people, no one wants to listen to me just sit here and name stuff and then go on to the next subject like there's nothing. Okay, so I have a list of three teams. You already mentioned one, the New York Giants. I think there's a very possible chance week four comes around. They're 1-3, 0-4. Daniel Jones has more interceptions than touchdowns. He doesn't have over 400 yards through 4 weeks. Like, that is a very possible case scenario in which they may look into trading for Garoppolo. But I have a feeling that Garoppolo is not on the roster week one for the Niners. And I look at two teams that could make a trade prior to week one. And those two teams are the Browns and the Seahawks. Obviously, the Browns, there's a lot in the air. We're already coming in. Training camp's here, and we have no clue what's happening with Deshaun Watson. But they have Brissett. Brissett is a Garoppolo-type quarterback, very game-managing-like, can sit in the pocket, make certain throws, good action, not going to turn the ball over. So I think they already have that, which leads me to believe that if I had to choose a team, I would go with the Giants. I think that, you know, the fact that Daniel Jones is this quarterback week one, that definitely scares me. But I just have this weird feeling, you know, my prediction is going to be the Giants, but I have this weird feeling that he's gone prior to week one. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Seahawks make a trade for him. That's the only other landing spot. But I'm going to go with the Giants just because of the fact that they have a good roster. And if Daniel Jones can't succeed in that system, they may look to do a one-year rental with Garoppolo, get him off your books for next year. You can draft whoever you want. It's a very deep quarterback class. But they have a roster, and they're just missing a quarterback. Saquon stays healthy. He can have an offensive player of the year type season. It's just all based on the quarterback position. So I expect the Giants to be aggressive like they usually are. And it would not surprise me if they trade for Garoppolo.
I agree. As I said, I picked the Giants as well, but I could not see a world where the Seahawks trade for Jimmy G. They are, in this moment, they're in full rebuild. There's no chance they get more than 6 wins right now. Their defense is terrible. I'm scared for that, for their secondary. They really don't have anything. They lost DJ Reed, who was really promising. Linebacking core doesn't look like anything either. You have Jordan Brooks, who's looked decent, but not very good at all. You have no one else there. D-line. Offense is atrocious. You obviously have Lockett and Lockett and DK Metcalf, but other than that, there's no need. And the teams already went out and said it's either going to be Drew Locke for their quarterback or it's going to be Geno Smith. They've liked Geno Smith. They had to start him a couple times last year when Russ was injured, and they may just
He actually didn't play terrible.
So they have that
veteran. They wouldn't want to bring in another one. And they have Drew Locke if they want to say, you know what? Let's see what the kid's got left in the tank. Can he really do anything? He obviously has a promising arm, but his decision-making isn't there yet, but they could look that way as well. And a one-year rental would be for a playoff team, not really someone who's going downhill like that. And with the Cleveland Browns, they just had Baker Mayfield, who is, in a lot of senses, like Jimmy G, not a very good quarterback in a very heavy run system. I don't see why they would go back to that just for 1 year. I could see them going Brissett with how he's been. He's been a solid backup and going that way. Or even there's reports of them wanting Cam Newton. In all honesty, I don't see why. Maybe they change to a read option for a year and go that. But I don't see them trading for someone, especially with how they have little to no cap room already.
Well, the reason why you go with that is because – Baker Mayfield, you already burned the bridges. No getting him back. You already burned the bridges. And it was just going to be a locker room problem. You had to get rid of him. You absolutely had to get rid of him. And you don't know what's going to happen. If Deshaun Watson gets suspended for all 17 games of the season, that's a wasted year for the Cleveland Browns. With Stefanski already on the hot seat because of how bad they've been and the decision to trade for Deshaun Watson. You know, it's mayhem in Cleveland right now. And if Deshaun Watson does get suspended for a year, maybe more, it could get really, really bad. And the reason why they trade for Garoppolo is because, like you just mentioned, yeah, he's a lot like Baker Mayfield without the interceptions. And maybe that's all the Browns need. They have a top two offensive line in football, the best running back duo, a top five defense. You know, Stefanski's a coach of the year 2 years ago. You're missing a quarterback. Was that just going to be Deshaun Watson? Yes, it was going to be Deshaun Watson. Now you don't know. Now it's a big question mark. No one has any idea. And I don't know why the NFL is waiting so long, but no one has any idea, not even the Cleveland Browns. And if week three of the preseason comes around, Deshaun Watson gets suspended for the entire year, they're not going to just roll over on their backs. You give up the third round pick, especially when your roster is a complete as it is. You give up a third, fourth, maybe a fifth round pick. Maybe the Niners are really desperate to get rid of him. You give up that fifth round pick and you get Garoppolo, and then you compete. You compete. You have a guy that's taken a team like very similarly built to the Niners to the Super Bowl, to the conference championship. Do I think they're going to get past the divisional round with Garoppolo? Absolutely not. Do they become a playoff team? I would argue, yeah, they get in. I know the AFC, but I mean, with a roster like that, I think they get in if they have a serviceable quarterback. And that would be why you trade for Garoppolo. You trade for Garoppolo to compete, to win some games if Deshaun Watson doesn't work out.
How big of a step up
is Jimmy Garoppolo
from Jacoby Brissett? That's the question I'm asking you, because they're going to have to give up a mid-round pick for Jimmy G if they do trade for him. And is the difference between the two that large where you give up a mid-round pick
for him?
For that, I would say yes, because I'm looking at it two different ways, okay? The reason why yes is because if you remember back to the year where Garoppolo got injured, the first year he was in San Fran, he got injured, Sherman got injured, the entire team was injured, right? When he played, they didn't lose. And I know, you know, they weren't playing, but they didn't lose. And that was a bad situation. It's a bad situation, right? You would agree that's a bad situation for them. After that, sure. They got a new head coach, right?
Yeah.
They weren't very talented. And when Jacoby Brissett's put in a bad situation, when Andrew Luck retires right before the season, I mean, the Colts, that year, if Andrew Luck played, the Colts going 13-3 winning the AFC, you know what I mean? So that team from a 13-3 team fell to a 7-9 team. And still, that's very good considering what they had dropped on them two weeks before the season started. But I just think, you know, I think that is a sizable gap where you give up a mid-round pick, especially because the Cleveland Browns, they don't have a lot of draft capital to start, right? So it's not like they're going to be getting better during the draft, but they don't need to get better. I mean, so the thing about draft capital is it's very, very overhyped, I believe. And the reason why it's so overhyped is because the draft provides hope. Whether you're good, bad, or in the middle, it provides hope. And to a franchise, to a fan base, to players. Realistically, how many third round picks turn out to change a franchise?
I understand that point, but the thing is, you never know. Maybe the Browns scouting is turning good. Maybe they could utilize that pick for a great player, but that's the thing. The lower you get in the draft, the less your odds become of the player turning out as a serviceable starter, backup, Pro Bowler, whatever it is. And with the Browns, as you said, they don't have that much capital. They have this team all around them that wants money. They have all these veterans who are going to want more and more money.
And that's going
to
be
difficult for them to pay people and not have – they're going to have to obviously let people go in the coming years, signing Deshaun to such a big contract. And with that draft capital, that's where you win. Because if you hit in the mid to late rounds, you have a 4 years of a player who you're paying little to nothing.
They hit on
Wyatt Teller, a third-round pick. Correct? Third round?
Yep.
He's playing on a
very cheap contract, and he's an all-pro guard. You have to hit in the late rounds to be a Super Bowl contender. And if you have nothing, it's you're going to have to go into undrafted free agents where it gets lower and lower to the point where you're signing old people to vet minimums to, you know, fill your spots when you don't have that. And to go back to the comparison between Jimmy G and Brissett, do you remember that the time when Tom Brady couldn't play and Jimmy G and Brissett were starters, correct?
I did.
During that time,
it was a funny story. The Patriots turned to hate Garoppolo after that because he had a minor injury.
I think it was that
week where it was the Dolphins.
Week four.
The
Dolphins. Yeah.
The, yes. I'm not, I think Dolphins was week three or four. I can't remember, but
it was Brissett. Because they played the Texans week three, and that was the Thursday night game where Brissett went off.
Brissett
and Jimmy G were both injured. Brissett had a broken finger on his throwing hand.
And
Jimmy G, I forget what exactly it was, but he had a smaller injury. But he was still sitting out.
It was left shoulder, I believe.
So, something very small, yeah. As a righty quarterback, left shoulder shouldn't bother you throwing. But he sat out the game instead of playing through it. Jacoby, and so that Jacoby Brissett said, I'll start with a broken finger on his throwing hand.
You have to have...
Your quarterback has to be a leader. And Jimmy G, he wasn't the leader on that 49ers Super Bowl team.
And looking
in Cleveland and at the Cleveland Browns, with all the shit going around the locker room with, oh, is Deshaun going to play? All these big question marks.
You need a
quarterback to be a leader, and I don't see Jimmy G being that. And that's why Stefanski isn't going to look to that. You move on from Baker. You get a new quarterback, Deshaun. Deshaun can't play. It just keeps changing and changing for them. You got to get a guy who can be that glue and be like, you know what, guys? Let's get this shit. It's a, all the noise, it doesn't matter. Let's just fucking play football.
Okay. And to combat – okay, so going back to your first thing, right, about the draft picks, one word came up that stuck out to me, and – it kind of relates to my argument before. You used if, and if is a very, very, very broad and low percentage word to use. You said, if you hit. And that's what I'm saying, if you hit. How many, obviously I don't have the statistics in front of me, and I'm not going to go that deep into it. How many third round picks are starters? Are starters. I'd probably say 50, around 50% end up starting throughout their career, correct?
Mm-hmm.
How many third round picks become Pro Bowlers? That number probably goes lower, down to 10-15%. How many third rounders become All Pros? That number drops exponentially. Now, you said if, and so if I hit on a third round pick, if I hit a third round pick that is a serviceable starter, I flip a coin, right? Now, if I turn third round pick into a quarterback that has won playoff games before, has been there, experienced winning, has been around a winning culture very recently in his career, to be honest, his entire career, when you go back to New England, why wouldn't you invest in something that's almost a sure shot? Your last resort, right? Almost mm-hmm. a sure shot to get you into playoffs with the roster you have around.
All right. I've been looking at some past Browns third round picks and on. Would you like me to name a couple of them?
So for starters,
we go to 2021.
We have obviously some of
them haven't proved themselves, but looking at it, we have Anthony Schwartz, Tommy Tungai, who was a fourth rounder, and Dimitri Pelton, who was a sixth. All who were used by the Browns a decent amount last year. 2020, we have Harrison Bryant, who has been used a lot with the Browns because of their three tight end sets. Donovan Peoples-Jones, a sixth round pick. He almost has 900 yards, five touchdowns. Third round pick 2019. I'm going to butcher the name. I know. Sion Taki, whatever. Yeah, the linebacker.
Late round picks
are very good. If you and the Browns have had a decent pass with them in these coming years. Obviously, we go back to the early 2010s. Not the best, but even 2017 third round pick Larry Ogunjobi.
The chances
you hit on these are pretty high.
And looking at them,
you've got to take that chance. And you can't just waste a pick on a year thinking that Jimmy G can take you to the promised land, because that's the goal of every team. Looking for that year where you have that chance.
It's a very
short window for teams, because either you got to pay rookies who've been playing well, you got to pay quarterbacks, you got to pay your quarterback, you got to pay players who've been playing well for you over those years.
And spending one of those
picks on Jimmy G, I just don't see it working out.
Okay, and to combat that, as a little counter argument, let me ask you this question, right? Would you trade Anthony Schwartz, who is a full-time special teamer, kick returner, punt returner, doesn't really touch the field on offense, doesn't really catch passes, in a loaded wide receiver room, right? You got Cooper, Jones, right? Would you trade him for Jimmy G straight up? Say you don't have a starting quarterback, would you trade him for Jimmy G straight up?
If I did not have a starting quarterback.
If you were the Browns, you had your roster, you were missing a quarterback, right? You mm-hmm. have a top two offensive line, five defense, weapons on the outside, the best running back tandem in all of football. Do you trade Anthony Schwartz, a full-time special teamer, for on a one-year deal?
I would, but that's not the situation here. Because you have Jacoby Brissett. Because you have Jacoby Brissett. There's not enough of a difference between Jacoby Brissett and Jimmy Garoppolo, in my eyes, to trade away a third-round pick. I just don't see that.
Okay, but going back to my prior point about Jacoby Brissett, right? Jacoby Brissett, when he was on the Colts that year, right, when Andrew mm-hmm. was away. Top two offensive line, right? Mm-hmm. Top 10 defense.
What were his weapons that year, though? You had an aging T.Y. Who was your running back? Naheem Hines and Marlon Mack.
Marlon Mack. Marlon Mack was a borderline Pro Bowler that year. Went over 1,000 yards. And Naheem Hines, who is one of the best pass-catching running backs in the league, similar to likes of Kareem Hunt. And yeah, you did have an AGTY, but you had prime Jack Doyle.
What's prime Jack Doyle? A top 20 tight end?
Jack Doyle was top 15 that year. And Jack Doyle is a serviceable tight end when you look at it.
Serviceable, though. That's the thing. This is a different team where Jacoby Brissett could do so much better. You have this loaded receiver room, loaded tight end room, best running back tandem. Loaded O-line. This team is so much better than that Colts team.
Okay, and that team went 7-9. But if Jacoby Brissett starts for this team, they go 9-7 max. And in the AFC this year, that does not get you in the playoffs. And if you have Garoppolo, I think that team goes 11-6, which gets you in the playoffs. And you're going to sit here and tell me, especially after last year when the team with no draft capital, the Rams, you said word for word, you said the window of winning is so small, right? So why are we going to sit here and talk about wasting a year for a potential third round pick to develop? You don't know who that third round is going to turn into. You don't know, like, and that's where we're going, fog of war, right? Hit or miss. Mm-hmm. But why are you going to waste an entire year of competing if you don't have Deshaun Watson for a player that you don't know? A, you don't know who it is. B, you don't know. You don't want to wait for them to develop. So I'm just saying, like, what makes you say I would not trade Anthony Schwartz, a kick returner who's easily replaceable, for Jimmy Garoppolo. And would the Niners accept that? Hell no. But would they accept a mystery third round pick? Well, yes, they would. And it doesn't even have to be a third. It could be a fourth. They're probably going to accept that too, because guess what? The Niners don't have leverage. What are they going to do? Keep $25 million on their bench? No.
Speaking back to your Rams comparison where you're saying, oh, they don't draft, let's name some of their past late-round picks who have helped them win the Super Bowl. Go back. Robert Rochelle played that nickel place for them. Terrell Burgess, third-round pick, played well for them. Jordan Fuller also played some time for that for a decent amount. David Long, their 2019 pick. John Franklin Myers.
Look, I was doing
in for the Jets. He played pretty well. Sebastian Joseph Day, Kaiser. Sorry,
Micah Kaiser.
Cooper Kupp, 2017 third round pick.
You got to hit in the late rounds. You got to.
Okay, and you talk about Burgess and Jordan Fuller, right?
Mm-hmm.
They brought in 30-something-year-old Eric Weddle to play over them. Like, free agency is where you improve your team with needs, and that's how you get better. And we've seen the Browns do that. They've gone better in free agency. And now, it just doesn't make sense to me to waste a year. And, yeah, you can say, you know, third-round picks develop, like, and I'm not arguing that they don't. Okay, I'm not arguing.
Higbee was a fourth. They had some large parts of that team who came late. That's what I'm saying. All right.
Well,
we should have your closing arguments, and then I feel like we should move on to tag players because we've been on this for a while.
We can do that in a different video. We'll split up into two. Yeah. All right. But I mean, we're in some good converse right here. So. It just doesn't make sense to me. You said, right? You said,
yeah.
The window of winning is so short, and you also previously said that with the contract Deshaun Watson is on, they're not going to be able to re-sign players, right? They just threw a ton of money at Njoku. A ton of money. He's making more than Mark Andrews, a top three tight end. Right? You have upcoming contracts. Like, we talked about those third-round picks. Guess what? You can't pay them. You can't pay them if you have a guy like Deshaun Watson on the roster and wasting a year. You can't pay them. Wyatt Teller, you cannot pay. You cannot pay these guys that are coming in and going to change your team. Nick Chubb's still in a rookie deal. How are you going to pay him? You're not. They just threw a ton of money at Denzel Ward as well. They have a ton of money invested in Myles Garrett. How much money do they have left over to spend on those third round picks that, yeah, they're great when you draft them, but if you develop and they just walk and you don't win in that period, what does that do? And to waste an entire year of those guys' contribution to your team, that's shameful, honestly. You're wasting a year of having a top five roster in all of football. And if you stay with Brissett, you don't even make the playoffs. You don't even make the playoffs with how he is. I mean, if Brissett's your quarterback, automatically the Bills, Chiefs, Chargers, Ravens, Bengals, that's five teams right there, automatically make it over the Browns. Then you have teams like the Patriots, never count out the Steelers, Raiders, Broncos, Colts, Titans, who were the one seed last year. The Browns don't stand a chance because it's a quarterback-driven league. And out of all those teams I just listed, over half of them have top 13 quarterbacks. And Brissett isn't even a top 32 quarterback. So you cannot compete. You cannot stand to compete in an AFC that has offenses like the Bills and Chiefs and the Chargers and the Broncos and the Raiders and the best running attack in all of football with the Ravens. You cannot compete. Now with Garoppolo, maybe you can. They're one interception away with a team identical to the Browns. They're one interception, dropped interception away from going to the Super Bowl. They're one completed pass away. They were one quarter away from winning a Super Bowl 2 years prior against the best offense almost ever, right? Are right there with the, as the Niners. And now you take that same situation, same quarterback from that same situation. Obviously, your head coach is not as good as Kyle Shanahan, but he's the former coach of the year, award winner 2 years ago with Baker Mayfield. So what makes you think that can't get you far in the playoffs? That can't get you that, like, if you go far in the playoffs, even if you don't win with Garoppolo, that's not a wasted year because you're getting your $235 million quarterback back the next year, a top five quarterback when he left football.
All right. I'm going to be honest. I look back. I'm looking at the Cleveland Browns contracts, and I'm changing sides. Not specifically that I wouldn't trade for Jimmy G if I were in the position, but seeing in how much it is, I wouldn't be mad if they did give up a fourth. I would be mad if it was a third, but looking at all the contracts that are expiring, their team's going to be in shambles. So they have Jack Coughlin expiring, Kareem Hunt, Jadeveon Clowney, Greedy Williams, and Anthony Walker Jr. You got Winovich, who probably will be a starter. Sione Takitaki, also. Ronnie Harrison, who they do have Greg Delpit to follow, but still, he's a great player. You're also losing not many other people this year, but a lot of, like, you know, backups, like Dearness Johnson's on that 1 year. Chris Hubbard is also on a 1 year. Rochelle, Ethan Pope, a lot of, you know, middle guys who are good backups, not good enough to start though. They lose a lot of players on their team seeing that, and they do have to try and win this year.
And to kind of, like, support you, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. To support you, I mean, those guys that you listed, Clowney, not worth whatever they're going to pay him.
Yeah.
Old Conklin's old. You know, those were the main names. Kareem Hunt, you can live without. Yeah. Anthony Walker, he's serviceable. Ronnie Harrison, you have a replacement. Greedy Williams doesn't really see the field. And, you know, you list those guys, like, whatever. People listening to this, you know, they're not going to be like, oh, the Browns, they're automatically out of contention. Yeah, maybe they're right, you know, but you need those serviceable guys to your credit, like you said. Like, those pieces, yeah, obviously some of them are going to walk, but those pieces are what make a championship team. I mean, for the Chiefs, no one sits there and names, like, D Ford. You know, like, oh, that's why they won the Super Bowl. No one does that. No one sits there and, you know, names, like, you know, oh, Jadarius Sneed. You know, that's what got him in that position. Without those players, they don't go to that. You know, they're not in that situation.
Do you want me to tell you how many of them are starters right now in the depth chart?
Yeah.
All right. So, right now, we have a couple. The O line, that great O line, is taking a couple hits. Jack Coughlin is their starting right tackle. Right now, Nick Harris, who I've never heard of, is their starting center, but I see it.
It's going to be Potek. Yeah.
It's going to be Potek, who, yes. On that D line, you're losing Taven Bryan, Jadeveon Clowney, that's half of the line. Linebacking core gets hurt even more. Anthony 2/3 of your linebacking core is leaving, and I don't see any serviceable backups at that linebacker position. Any.
Yeah.
And even at corner, I see your point, but still, he's their nickel guy. He's still, that's a big place to be. And
I just see it.
That's 25% of your starters leaving after this year.
You have
to. Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
You can't fill all that up. And their cap room isn't huge. For this year, they have, I think it's estimated $21 million. That's not enough to pay. Maybe you can pay.
You can get back Walker. You can get back Talky. You can get back. I mean, Taylor Bryan isn't really that good. He's kind of a bust. But you can get back Conklin on a cheap deal. He's old. You know, you can get those guys back. But like you said,
you don't have room to improve. Like, what if some of these guys starting right now shit the bed?
Exactly.
Like, what if they have a bad year and you need to replace it? Like, what if Delpit starts this year? He's terrible. What if someone gets a really bad injury where you need to get that replacement or you need to have that depth at that position? Right now they have some decent depth in their front seven and their wide receiving core, but not too much in their O-line and their secondary.
Yeah, so you're right.
Think about.
And I know like we're on the same side now, but if you take that third-round pick that you would get for Garoppolo, you still lose all those guys. You can't pay them. You still lose over half those guys, right? You can't pay them. You don't make the playoffs. Don't have your first-round pick. You take that third-round pick, maybe you get a serviceable starter. Not ready year one. Not going to start for you year one. That's another wasted year. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta give yourself a chance. Especially after the offseason you just had. You just traded for Deshaun Watson. You just traded for Amari Cooper. Your team is stacked. And then to have those trades go through, to have a top-5 roster in all of football, not make the playoffs is a wasted year because of your quarterback situation. You know what I mean? Like, you can't sit around and waste a year. Continue to lose all those guys you're going to lose, and then expect the third rounder to come in and be the face of your franchise. Or a serviceable starter, bare minimum. You can't expect that. You know what I mean? Anthony Schwartz, you started special teams, didn't catch many passes, didn't run many routes. So it's – and 50% of the time, that third-round pick never sees the field for you. Single game. You never know. You never know. And, yeah, maybe that third-round pick becomes an all-pro. Chances are very, very slim. But you can't just sit around, have Jacoby Brissett start for you, miss the playoffs entirely, and then, quote unquote, reload, even though you got worse. And, you know, we're just arguing for nothing. Maybe, you know, I mean, we're not arguing anymore, but maybe the last half hour of our podcast is all for naught because Deshaun doesn't get suspended. Maybe that happens.
Fat chance.
Well,
no.
There is a way because if the NFL goes through and suspends him for the entire season, he's going to sue in the fact that he wasn't proven guilty by court of law, and then he can sue the NFL, and they're not going to want to have to go. But maybe he gets suspended for 4 games. You never know. You don't know. None of us know. The NFL doesn't know. Cleveland Browns don't know. Entirely, no, we don't know. But just sitting here, from a reasonable standpoint, you have to think he gets suspended for bare minimum for 8 the entire season. But yeah, I think if you're without the services of Deshaun Watson for the entire year, you can't rely on Jacoby Brissett, because just statistically, analytically, it's dumb. We live in a world of analytics right now. It's dumb. It's a waste of 12 months.
As much as I agree with your analytics thing, there's a reason why PFF stats are very outlandish sometimes.
And that's because it's all
statistics. But to close this up,
I would be fine
with them trading a fourth or lower.
A third round pick,
I would not do.
I think you can get away with a fourth. I think if you package a fourth and a six, like 2023 fourth, 2024 sixth, send that off to San Fran, you get Garoppolo. It's a 1 year thing. Compete, see how far you go. They've been there before. He's been on the big stage in a similar situation. Obviously, you're going to have to go into cold Buffalo on a Saturday night in January. You're going to have to, you know, go through Kansas City. You're going to have to play in a dome like Indy with Matt Ryan. That team's going to be good. You're going to have to go up against the likes of Justin Herbert, who can throw for 500 yards. Joe Burrow can throw for 500 yards. You have to prepare against that defense of the Broncos with, like, and then Russell Wilson too. Like, it's going to be tough regardless of who your quarterback is. That's just how he's built. And it's not similar to this. It's not quite similar to the situation he was in the Niners, but you got a guy who's been there. You got a guy. The team doesn't want him anymore. Yes, I know he's coming off injury, but they're trying to get rid of him. They do not want him. And I know before the draft they were asking for a lot, and free agency, you know, they're asking for a lot for him. They're asking for second, third round pick. You can get away with a fourth and a sixth. Set it off. Realistically, I mean, we look back, George, we look back at all these trades. You know, you see the TikTok, you know. The trades that people give up for guys like Jalen Ramsey. You know, 90% of the time, the team that gets the player, the superstar, wins. Doesn't matter how many first-round picks they win. Matt Stafford. It doesn't even matter who those first-round picks become. They won the Super Bowl. They automatically win because they won the Super Bowl with that trade, because of that trade. And to that point, it just – 90% of the time, the team that gets the player wins. It doesn't make sense to not give your team a chance to compete.
Do you want to know what the injury was on Garoppolo?
Yeah.
Throwing shoulder. You got to play that
into account for what pick you're giving up.
I forget what
exactly. Wait, let me look it up. I know it was a throwing shoulder injury, but I don't know like how bad. Let's see, what was it? Jimmy said he had surgery to repair his shoulder. He had surgery on it.
Surgery is a big
thing, especially on someone who relies on their arm so heavily. And I just see that also coming into play to the Browns being like, we give up a pick, and what if his arm isn't the same and it's turns into Big Ben's arm?
You got to play that into
account as well. There's a lot of different things that if the Browns were to trade for this, they would have to play and consider.
And it's obviously
going to be up to them, but in what weighs the most to them? Like, is this really going to matter if we win the Super Bowl? But what are the chances that he's even back to what he was when the 49ers went to the Super Bowl? What if he's worse?
Yeah.
A lot of factors.
You're absolutely right. There are a lot of factors. That's how football works. There's injuries. There's always concern. Big Ben, the year after he ruined his elbow on his throwing arm, no quarterback's ever come back from that. He's 37 that year. They started season 11-0. Obviously, his arm died off. There's no doubt. He's also 37. Garoppolo's 31. You know, Odell Beckham tore his ACL. He came back and obviously he tore it again in the Super Bowl, but he was pretty freaking good down the stretch of the season for the Rams. Like, people now with technology, now with science, now with medicine that we have today, people can come back from that stuff. Alex Smith played again after his leg was completely turned around. Like, it is not outlandish to say Garoppolo is going to be the exact same quarterback that he was before. And He's more of a brain quarterback anyway. You never see Garoppolo make the 50-yard passes down the sideline on the hashes with the safety over the top and the corner lurking underneath into a breadbasket. You know, you don't see that from him. Yeah, you see it from Mahomes. Yeah, you see it from Allen. If they have shoulder surgery, there's definitely more of a concern. But for a one-year rental, I mean, you know, you can read the reports during, you know, training camp. You can send someone out there to go watch. He's free to look for a trade. I mean, obviously you don't want him throwing like Cam Newton where it hurts for him to throw the ball. But, you know, you look, you scout just like you would any prospect, and then you make a decision. But there's going to be injury concerns involved all the time. Any player in football has most likely had an injury in the past, whether it was high school, college, NFL. There's always going to be concern because it's such a physically demanding sport. But, you know, that's where the risk comes in. And with risk comes great reward. And if you don't make that decision to trade for him, you're potentially looking at a team where you miss the playoffs, go 500, and you're picking 15 overall, and it's not even your pick. So there's just too much to – there's too much against not trading for him.
I see that point. I don't see my stance changing much on that as the season goes on, where I believe, sure, he could be helpful. But it just depends on 100% on the price.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Price is everything. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. Price is everything. And we can get back on this on the same exact podcast in December. If they trade for him, the Browns are eliminated for the playoffs. And I could look like an absolute dumbass. But that's what we do. You know, we analyze what the information that's in front of us. And as new information comes up, yeah, we admit when we're wrong. And we both were, but as of right now, just how I see it, the information that is out in front of me, me analyzing that information and past history in football, that is the smartest, most rewarding way the Browns have a chance to get anywhere without Deshaun Watson.
True. I think that was a great argument, how we just talked that whole time about that.
I mean, we were saying that we were going to keep it to 30 minutes max for an entire video. We completely cut out half the video. And we went double the time over. Yeah, no, it was good. That was the arguments we had. And, you know, not going to lie, you had me thinking, busting deep in the bag a lot. But it ended up working, so it's whatever. It was good conversation, good argument, and I hope the viewers enjoyed it. And yeah, like I said, in the future we're gonna try and keep it 30 minutes max, so it's easier to watch for you, or easier to listen to for you guys. And we'll be pumping out more content in the future, just simple kind of 30 minute videos. Keep it short and keep it consistent. So
very true. All right. If you guys listen this long, thank you. And we'll see you in the next podcast.
Yep. Bye.